We have two scripture readings this morning. The first one, our Old Testament lesson, is from 1 Chronicles 17. And then our New Testament lesson is Luke 1. Again, the sermons for this Advent are all taken from Luke 1. And our responses to the good news. Last week we saw Zechariah and unbelief. This morning we look at Mary and faith. And so we will read from 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 14. And before we read God's word, let us bow to pray. God, our Father, we rejoice this morning again that we can take up your word and read and see our sister Mary and her response of faith. We ask that you would work that response in us too as we hear the glad news of the coming of the Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen. 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 4. Hear the word of God. Now it came to pass, when David was dwelling in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains." Then Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in." And then go down to verse 10, about midway through. "Also, I will subdue all your enemies," the Lord speaking here. "Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house. And it shall be, when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." And then in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, and we will read verses 26 through 38. Luke 1, verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy that we read in 1 Chronicles 17 is partially fulfilled in Solomon, but we'll see together this morning that it is fully fulfilled in the Son of David, the Son of Mary, the Son of God. And here comes Good News Gabriel again. It's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and here comes Gabriel from the throne room of heaven with more good news. Another baby announcement, and this one to an even more unlikely recipient than last week. We saw Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth is old, and they're both old, and she is barren. And then if you remember your Bible history, there was a couple a long time before that, Sarah and Abraham, also old and barren. And now, how about this? A virgin is going to have a baby. We look this morning at Mary and faith, and then we bring it a little closer to home and look at you and faith, me and faith. So let's look first of all at Mary and her faith. First of all, her status in verses 26 and 27. She's engaged. And in that culture, in that Jewish culture, that meant a lot more than it does for us today. A man and woman who were engaged were called husband and wife. To break up that engagement, if that were to be, took a legal divorce. The only difference between engagement and marriage in that time is that the engaged couple were not living together, and that point is crucial because Mary is a virgin. Most Christians from Mary's day until the 19th century accepted the virgin birth without hesitation. And then it became a pivotal issue, and it remains so today. Because many people reinterpret Jesus as a good man, but not God. He might have been insightful, but he wasn't inspired. If he was conceived and born in sin, as everyone else ever has been, then there's nothing special about him. But Scripture makes clear that he was born of a virgin, signifying that he is unique. No one has ever had a conception and birth like that. A birth by God, of God, in human flesh. It's a pivotal issue because he was not nice guy with us. He was God with us. And therefore, he looks penetratingly at our sinful condition, and he alone gives rescue from it. When we think of Mary's status, the church in the big picture has never been sure how to treat her. We have tended to go to one of two extremes. The Roman Catholic Church traditionally has, in our opinion, elevated her too high. And Reformed Christians, partly in reaction to that, has ignored her and failed to give her honor. the proper view, the esteem, to esteem her as the earthly mother of Jesus, is to have the attitude we read this morning in Scripture, the attitude of Gabriel, for one. Verse 28, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Elizabeth, verse 43, "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Mary herself, who speaks not with pride in verse 48, "For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." And so we should. Mary's status. And then Mary's surprise. Verses 28 to 33. You can understand why she's surprised, although none of us could fully put ourselves in her shoes. Here comes an angel. And recall from last week, as we read earlier in Luke 1, when Zechariah was met with an angel, what fear that struck in his heart and why. Many times in the Old Testament, when an angel of the Lord came to someone, it was to pronounce judgment and punishment. And that may well have been Mary's first reaction. So here comes an angel, but not to punish her. He comes with this hello, verse 28. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." "The Lord is with you" is not a prediction of the future. It's a fact of the present. The Lord is with you now. And we read she was troubled. Some translations say she was greatly troubled, an indication of her heart. You see, if she had thought that she was different from other Jewish girls, if she had thought growing up that she was special and not like the other girls in her neighborhood, as some have claimed, then she might well have said to Gabriel, "Well, it's about time. I've been expecting you." But she never expected this. There was nothing unique about her except for God's call on her. But the true uniqueness was in her son. Her being troubled indicates that. She's aware of God's presence and thus aware of her sin, like Isaiah was. If you have your Bible in hand, look with me at Isaiah chapter 6. Look at Isaiah's reaction when the Lord appears to him. The first five verses of Isaiah 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" You see, to see God is then to see ourselves, our sin and our great need, And the angel Gabriel, good news Gabriel, comes to Mary then with the good news of salvation. You shall call his name Jesus. What Mary heard was Joshua, the Lord saves. She was going to become the mother of the Messiah who had been anticipated for generations. Her son would be human because she would be her son, and he would be divine because he would be God's son. As a man, then he would know what physical aches and pains would be. He knew what emotional struggles were like. He knew what temptation was and how hard it would be to resist. And as God, he could and did deliver from the guilt of sin, from the stranglehold that sin has on us. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. That rang bells for Mary and every Jew who heard it. The Son of the Highest is God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In Jesus, God fulfills Old Testament prophecies, many of them, but one that we read earlier. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 14. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. And then one more point about Mary, and that's her surrender. In verses 34 to 38. Verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? It's not a question of unbelief, but an expression of faith. She believed the promise. She had no idea how the performance would look. She trusted what would happen. She had no idea how it would happen. How could a virgin have a baby? How indeed? Answer, verse 37, with God nothing will be impossible. First, Gabriel explains that this will be a miracle. It will be the work of the Holy Spirit. Joseph is the legal father. You can look, for example, at Luke 3 and 4, John 1 and 6. Joseph, the legal father, the Holy Spirit, in ways we do not understand, the biological father, not by physical intercourse, but by spiritual intervention. While Mary has been honored by Christians since, or should be honored, understand that in her day, there was no honor to this. There was dishonor. Because everyone who heard the news that Mary was pregnant would assume that she became pregnant the only way that it's ever been done. Gabriel was careful to point out then that the baby would be holy. He would be set apart. He would be of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's an interesting word, overshadow. Look with me at Exodus 40. It's the same word used when God is present in the Holy of Holies in the Jewish tabernacle. So in Exodus 40, all the preparations are in place for the tabernacle. There's the ark, the veil, the table, the laver, the anointing oil, the special bread, the special vestments that the priest would wear, the lampstand, the screen at the door, the burnt offerings, everything is in place. And then verses 33 through 35. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord overshadowed the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord overshadowed Mary. Her womb became the Holy of Holies for the Son of God. Gabriel ends the message with a word of encouragement, a word of courage for her. Your old relative, your old cousin Elizabeth, is also having a baby, proving again, with God, nothing will be impossible. And Mary's reaction then in verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." What faith it took to say those words. Because she knew she would have to tell Joseph. And what would Joseph think? Probably that he cheated on her. According to Matthew 1, verse 19, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. What would her parents say? What would the extended family say? This would bring nothing but shame. What would the neighbors think? And what traumatic changes to her life were coming? What drastic pain was ahead? But she knew she had a message from God, and that was enough. God was enough. And so I want to end this morning with an important matter: faith and you, faith and me. Because we want to see beyond our sister Mary to God, her God and ours. In the busyness of this season, in the tension that holiday get-togethers can create for some, with the whole questions about COVID that are in our land, in our world, in what for some people can be outward happiness, the show of being happy, but sometimes inward distress or loneliness, we must see Jesus. I don't know where God is calling you this Advent season to trust, but if he is, you know what you have to do. Put yourself in Mary's shoes and apply what you know about the rest of the story. And ask yourself, is not God faithful? Is he not graceful, full of grace, to those who look to him in faith? Didn't he provide for Mary all the way to when he hung on the cross and committed her, his beloved mother, to the care of John, his beloved disciple? All the way to saving her at the cross, her and you, if you trust in him. Put yourself in Mary's shoes and look at her son. Is he not the Son of God who came to save his people from their sins? Is he not the Holy One to whom we can run with our unholiness and be granted forgiveness and life? Is he not the man, a man, who knows intimately what it's like to be in our shoes, and God, who places our feet on holy ground? Is he your Savior? See Christ this Christmas and live. Live forevermore. Let us pray. And so, our Father and our God, we have again heard the glad news of Jesus and work that deep into our souls, that wherever you are calling us this day to trust in you, we will do so wholeheartedly, without reservation, and with great joy. Whatever our need, meet it, Father, with the grace that you have given to us in Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise for a beautiful salvation, a beautiful Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.